It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, September 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. News this week that Home Depot may be the latest company of its kind to be targeted by hackers. Financial institutions and the large retailer are investigating possible data breaches that may have occurred at brick-and-mortar stores around the country, which, of course, echoes last year's massive Target customer data breach. The most recent incident comes after financial institutions discovered a bunch of card numbers and customer data being sold on an online black market. The connection between the cards for sale, recent visits to Home Depot stores. Visits when, you ask?
Between the end of April, early May, and the last couple of weeks.
That's Brian Krebs at KrebsOnSecurity.com, who broke the story after talking to financial institutions. He says if we do the math, Home Depot's hack could make Target's pale in comparison.
A lot hinges on how many of Home Depot's 2,200 domestic stores may have been impacted. If it's all of them, as it happened with the Target, we could be looking at a significant breach. The Target lost 40 million cards, and it was breached for only about 3 weeks.
Reporter Brian Krebs will keep you posted. One of the challenges of understanding the impact of gun violence in American neighborhoods is actually logging the data on when it happens and where it happens. Traditionally, it's been tracked through emergency calls or a much darker method, watching the collection of dead bodies and those who have been injured. There's a new study out today that has taken a different tack, though, using acoustic technology to record and map gunshots in the neighborhoods of Washington, D.C. It's been collected by the Urban Institute, and director of its Justice Policy Center, Nancy Levine, joins us to talk about it. Hello, Nancy.
Hi.
So how does this gunshot detection technology work?
Well, the technology uses acoustic sensors that are placed on the tops of buildings in a way that can detect the unique signature of gunfire and identify the source of that gunfire through triangulation.
And what have you learned?
Well, we learned that a disproportionate volume of gunfire occurs around a small number of D.C. schools. So when you think about kids' exposure to gun violence, most research looks at whether they were witness to domestic violence or whether they were witness to a homicide involving a gun. This is another way that children, you know, in school and on their way to and from may be exposed to gun violence.
I feel like we're in this period of people being sort of map happy. We love to turn data sets into maps, and, you know, that can be very interesting to look at. But do you think that there's a way that you could actually use the data that you've collected here to address or prevent gun violence in these neighborhoods or around these schools?
I do. I think that maps are important in displaying different phenomenon in a way that people can understand them, and it gives it context.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at gunfire around schools, it raises a lot of important questions that I think have policy implications. Is the gunfire distracting? Does it interfere with instruction? Does fear of being caught in the crossfire affect a kid's willingness to go to school? You know, all of this relates to public awareness and public safety.
Nancy Levine is director of the Justice Policy Center at the Urban Institute. She's part of the study that is out today about gunfire near schools in the Washington, D.C. area. Nancy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All this week, we're talking about how tech is changing how we read. We've explored how new technology is changing reading in the classroom and reading education at home. Today, we're going to talk about how it's changing another essential place in our literary lives, libraries. Courtney Young is president of the American Library Association. Hello, Courtney.
How are you?
I'm well. Talk to me a little bit about the way that the ALA is working with book publishers on providing e-books to library patrons and why that's so important.
We've been working with publishers for a few years now with regards to e-books. Libraries are frequently paying maybe 150 to 500% more than the consumer price, which means that libraries can only purchase fewer copies for those readers to discover. And ebooks are increasingly the way that people are getting their reading materials. And we know that 90% of public libraries are now offering ebooks, which is up from 76% just in 2012.
How are the physical spaces of libraries changing, both in terms of fewer and fewer books, but also more newer technologies?
In terms of the spaces, certainly you're still going to walk into a library and you're going to see books. But yes, you're also going to see a lot of computers because people are increasingly relying on their public libraries. Over 60% of library users surveyed say that they rely on their public library in order to get internet access.
How have the responsibilities of librarians changed?
We're becoming even more and more dynamic, whether it's, you know, the traditional computer, or if it's iPads or Kindles. Think about our librarians who lead teams through a project to learn how to use a 3D printer or how to make a video and use a video camera. And if that's incredibly rewarding to be a part of that process and then be able to share that learning with people as they come in to develop new skills and find the information that they need.
Courtney Young is the president of the American Library Association. Courtney, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
You can find more of our coverage of technology and reading this week at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.